Live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Listening to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS, and of course streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Subject certainly getting an awful lot of attention in the news lately, and probably will for a while to come, Michigan's medical marijuana laws. There's an article in the State Journal today about the laws being ambiguous, and discussion on that. We got a hold of Mike Nichols. He's on the phone with us now, East Lansing attorney with the Nichols Law Firm. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Oh, you must be at home.
You hear my daughter, yeah.
I do. I like hearing your daughter in the background, absolutely. Yeah. In case people wonder if this is live radio, that answers that question. Very good. I guess right off the top, what are your thoughts? Yes or no, do you think the medical marijuana law as it stands now is ambiguous?
I certainly don't think that it was written to be purposely ambiguous, as was asserted by some in the article that was in the Lansing State Journal today that I was quoted in. Like any statute, there are areas that need and will get some interpretation in the months and years down the road. But I don't think, I mean, listen, the legislature passes laws all the time that have ambiguities all over the place. You know, these are human beings passing laws, and as imperfect human beings, the statutes that they pass have imperfections.
Well, my next question for you was, do you think it was vague on purpose? And you say not so much. You don't think it was. It just seems like it's brought up so much. And one of the questions I guess I have is this going to clog up the courts? Because every time an issue comes up, because there's the appearance of it being vague. I mean, this is from a layperson, obviously. Is every single incident that's come up going to end up in the courtroom?
Well, there are days when there might be two or three medical marijuana cases in front of a judge, or an appeal pending. I know that there are at least a couple on their way up to the courts of appeals, and at least one case that's on leave to the Supreme Court. But no more than any new statute or any new common law. What I mean is a judicial decision that creates essentially a law. You know, it's really not what I think people are putting out there in terms of a clog on the courts or some big ambiguity at all. I think there's a faction of people out there who don't like it. And so the first thing to say is, you know, this law is ambiguous. It was terribly written. I don't see that as the case. It's modeled after medical marijuana laws in other states. And you know, again, not perfect means to be filled in the gaps, but I don't think this is any big panic or the sky is falling sort of a scenario, as some who were quoted in the article by Kevin Grasha were quoted as saying.
Yep, and thank you for mentioning Kevin's name. I was going to do that. Excellent writer at the Lansing State Journal. Every time one of these issues goes before the court, is by definition, is that setting precedent in the whole pedigree of medical marijuana?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, to the extent that the Court of Appeals publishes an opinion, or of course, if the Supreme Court issues an opinion, it's going to set precedent in some way or another. But you know, sometimes they're ruling simply on a definition of a word or what a phrase means. It might be a seemingly small part of a decision, but it's got some fairly significant impact.
Do you have currently or have you had clients who you've represented dealing with medical marijuana?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when you've been in this with clients and so forth and kind of testing the process with this newer law came about in 2008, you haven't found... You found the law to be stated pretty clearly when you have worked with it.
In most aspects, there again are areas that need some clarification where reasonable minds can disagree on the meaning of a phrase, a word, or a clause, but, you know, it lays things out fairly well. But again, there are areas of any law that have shades of gray, have ambiguities, need things spelled out.
Yeah, I found it interesting. One of the quotes in the article in the journal, you mentioned that you also have manipulators and con artists. This was from you, who want to make a buck and justify abusing or selling a commodity. Maybe you want to just expand on that a little, or maybe it doesn't need to be.
I said that. I said that there are manipulators and con artists out there.
That's the way it reads.
Wow, I can't believe I would be so mean.
You're not mean, Mike.
Well, I think that, you know, with anything, there is going to be profiteering. You know, someone, and you know, I get lots and lots and lots of calls, Cheryl, from a lot of people who are, you know, out of state, in state, who, you know, want to set up this kind of a business or a dispensary or some other sort of profit-making venture based on the change of the law. But isn't that like anything else?
Sure. Sure. Another part of this that's just coming up, there were moratoriums in certain communities, and East Lansing's moratorium is nearing its end. And on February 16th, and action will be taken up. The idea that there's a moratorium necessary because there's so many of these opening up, I guess, is a little surprising to me. And we'll see where it goes with East Lansing City Council.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so long that you can punt as a public body, as a local municipality. You know, at some point you've got to confront the issue and figure out how you're going to regulate what, you know, is here to stay. You know, I mean, East Lansing is where I live, and I've always found for, you know, 20 years the local government to be pretty thoughtful and, you know, usually at the end of the day, some sort of well-reasoned, well-thought, if not, you know, it's certainly imperfect provision comes to the surface and we go forward. And let's just hope that communities start to do that.
It does just, it brings to mind, as I was reading the article about the moratorium coming to an end, that some communities are just waiting for someone else to take action, you know, so they can follow.
Not in my backyard. You go first. That whole, you know, psychological human dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. We'll let, maybe if we put the moratorium on for a bit, another community will come up with an answer, and then we can follow that.
Right. You go first. No, you go first.
we'll see how well you do, and then we'll follow along.
Right.
Well, this is clearly an issue that's not going away for a while now. I appreciate you you're taking some time with us this evening out of family time. Sorry about that. To communicate with us on it, and we'll catch up with you at a later date, I'm sure, to follow along with this story. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Cheryl. Morgan says to say hi.
Well, hello, Morgan. We heard from her quite often. She clearly has an opinion. She has an opinion just like her mother and father on issues like this.
Right.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Cheryl. Good to be with you.
Good night. We've been speaking with Mike Nichols and family, East Lansing attorney with the Nichols Law Firm, on the medical marijuana law and how it's shaping out. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.